the word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 27, verses 31 through 35. It's on page 230 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of today. So the soldiers, carrying out their orders, took Paul with them during the night and brought him as far as Antipatris. The next day they let the cavalry go on with him while they returned to the barracks. When the cavalry arrived in Caesarea, they delivered the letter to the governor and handed Paul over to him. The governor read the letter and asked what province he was from. Learning that he was from Sicilia, he said, I will hear your case when your accusers get here. Then he ordered that Paul be kept under guard in Herod's palace. Amen. In the middle of the night, when everybody fell asleep, Paul finally departed from Jerusalem with 200 armed soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen who escorted him. Paul, who was a prisoner, didn't walk to the destination like the soldiers and spearmen, but rode on a horse provided by the commander. Would anyone out of the high priests and members of the Sanhedrin have been escorted by 470 soldiers of the Roman Empire? Among the high-ranking officials of the Roman Empire, which ruled across the Mediterranean world 2,000 years ago, how many of them would be able to receive such an escort? God, however, mobilized more than 400 soldiers to protect Paul from 40 assassinators, a tenth of the mobilized soldiers. Those 470 soldiers who were escorting Paul was the touch of the Lord, whose arm was not too short. The real meaning of Paul's departure for Jerusalem, however, was in not the physical escape to get out of the Jewish killer. Did the Lord not promise to Paul, right beside him in the dark and cold prison of the Roman barracks, take courage, as you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. It was God's promise that Paul will become a witness of God in Rome, like he was in Jerusalem. The final destination for Paul to dedicate the rest of his life was the heart of the empire, Rome. Right now, leaving Jerusalem, Paul took the first step to Rome with 470 soldiers escorting him. What could possibly express the touching feelings of Paul on the horse that night leaving Jerusalem? The Lord said, Matthew 10:29 through 31, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. Who on earth could correctly count the number of your hairs? The Creator God, however, count the exact number of your hairs. This is not because it's his hobby, but it shows how much and how thoroughly God knows about our circumstances. So God told his disciples not to be afraid about anything in the world. With the power to count even the number of our hairs, God will take responsible for our life at his time, in his way. This is why people who follow the word keep on living based on words of God. Only those who live on the word could make sure that the Bible is not just a printout, but the power of the Lord who holds responsible for the life of man. Those people understand that following the word of God could sometimes result in unexpected pains and disadvantages. But only the life based on the word and taken responsible by God at his time in his way is truly valuable and meaningful. Without living based on the word of God, you could never know this grace of God. Let us look at today's scripture of verse 31 and 32. So the soldiers, carrying out their orders, took Paul with them during the night and brought him as far as Antipatris. The next day they let the cavalry go on with him while they returned to the barracks. Paul is now confirmed that God is taking responsible for his life. When Paul makes sure that God is taking responsible beyond his imagination, when departing for Caesarea further, when he took the first step for Rome, the heart of the Roman Empire, being escorted by 470 soldiers, would his heart not be full and praise the Lord? Wouldn't the sound of footsteps of 200 soldiers, 200 spearmen, and 70 horses break the silence in the middle of the night and resonate in the ear of Paul as a magnificent choir to praise God? Entering the latter year of his life, wouldn't Paul make a new resolution to dedicate himself to the Trinity God? Those 470 soldiers escorting Paul walked all night and next day got to Antipatris, 60 kilometers away from Jerusalem. It was quite a forced march for 200 soldiers and 200 spearmen who then took a ride on a horse. Reaching Antipatris, 200 soldiers and 200 spearmen got back to Jerusalem, and the 70 horsemen remained for Paul's escort. They thought, now Paul was free enough from the threat of the Jewish killers in Jerusalem. Paul rode on a horse and ran approximately 40 kilometers to Caesarea with the 70 horsemen from Antipatris. In verse 33, when the cavalry arrived in Caesarea, they delivered the letter to the governor and handed Paul over to him. Upon arrival at Caesarea, horsemen delivered the letter of the commander to Governor Felix and had Paul stand there, which means that they took Paul to the court of governor as the accused. In verse 34, the governor read the letter and asked what province he was from, learning that he was from Sicilia. the governor read the letter of the commander. As we looked at last time, the letter, which was a report written by the commander about Paul, was full of lies and bluffs to show off himself. Could the governor read the report and figure out that the commander was wrong? Governor Felix, as we'll go deeper soon, was corrupt. He didn't care and was not even able to understand who would be righteous or faithful to given missions. He was so corrupt that anybody who gave him a bribe would have advantages. Today as well, there are people who satisfy their selfish interests and desires by unrighteously using their titles. Those people may thrive in this world, but the Lord who gave such titles to them will definitely hold them responsible at His time in His way. Regardless of our title, we are no better than the steward in front of God who gave that title to us. We shouldn't forget this. After reading the report of the commander, Governor Felix asked Paul where he was from. It was to check which jurisdiction Paul was under. In the Roman Empire, there were regions where the emperor ruled directly, like the capital, Rome, and others were governed by the Senate. If Paul came from such region, his authority couldn't cover him, and he had to send Paul to the corresponding region. Paul was from Sicilia. Since the Jewish governor Felix also was charged affairs from Syria and Sicilia, he was able to execute his power to judge. In verse 35, he said, "I will hear your case when your accusers get here." Then he ordered that Paul be kept under guard in Herod's palace. Governor Felix decided to hold a court when the accusers arrived and ordered that Paul be kept under guard in Herod's palace. The palace of Herod was built in Caesarea, a coastal city of Mediterranean Sea, by King Herod for himself. After his death, the capital of the province of Judea moved from Jerusalem to Caesarea, where marine transportation was convenient. And concurrently, Herod's palace began to be used as Jewish governor's residence. In the past, a palace had an underground prison. When the governor ordered to keep Paul in Herod's palace, it could be to imprison Paul in an underground prison or to keep him under guard, but give some freedom as a Roman citizen, as testified in Acts 24:23. Either way, it was clear that Paul was confined in Herod's palace. Caesarea is not the final destination of Paul. As God promised, Paul's final destination was the heart of the empire, Rome. For Paul, who was escorted in Jerusalem by 470 soldiers and took the first step to Rome, Caesarea was nothing but a place to stay for a while. Then it would be right that Paul should leave Caesarea as early as possible. But the way things unfolded was completely different than expected. According to the Acts 24, 26, and 27, Governor Felix took a bribe even from those who were involved in the trial. He found those who gave him a bribe innocent while proclaiming guilty or delaying the trial indefinitely for those who didn't. Felix misunderstood that Paul was a leader of a new religion called Christianity and thought Paul would be rich enough, like most of other leaders of new religion. Felix thus naturally thought that Paul would definitely bribe him and met him several times privately. But there was no sign of giving a bribe at all. So Felix confined Paul for as many as 2 years in Herod's palace for no special reason. In short, Felix was a corrupt officer who satisfies only his own interests. No matter how hard we try, it is not easy to understand that Paul, who needed to head for Rome, should be held in custody in the palace of Herod in Caesarea for 2 years with nothing to do because of Governor Felix. Paul's trip to Rome was not planned by himself personally, but the will of God, who promised to Paul. Then, isn't it natural for Paul to leave for and get to Rome as early as possible? Paul, however, had to waste 2 years due to Governor Felix. How can we understand this? But that is not a hard question. That was the very providence of God, transcending human imagination. Paul wasn't wasting 2 years confined in a Herod's palace in Caesarea. Paul had traveled the Mediterranean world 3 times for his mission. If there is an obstacle while spreading the gospel, then he moved to another place. During his trip, as confessed in Corinthians 2, chapter 11, he was beaten with rods, once stoned, shipwrecked, in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, has suffered from poverty, cold and hunger. But Rome wasn't the place simply to spread the good news like other places he had moved on. Rome was the heart of the empire that should be colored with the blood of Jesus Christ. Rome, the heart of the empire, was the final destination for Paul to dedicate the rest of his life so that the blood of Jesus Christ could revive the heart of the empire. In such Rome, Paul was beheaded in dignity for the Lord. And with Paul's martyrdom, the heart of the empire was eventually colored red with the blood of Jesus Christ. For the very day, the Lord had Paul get thoroughly ready in Caesarea for 2 years. Dying without knowing would be easy. There is no need to get trained or ready to die of an accident or heart attack. Dying after a long battle with a chronic disease would not be so hard either. Long fight against the disease itself would be the preparation for death. Dying with knowing, however, and knowing to die innocent, but facing it without avoiding, would not be easy at all. Dying with knowing requires you to be filled with life so that the death should be sublimated into life transcending death. This was the reason that the Lord had Paul stay in Caesarea for 2 years before reaching Rome. In Caesarea, Paul was confined in the palace of Herod for 2 years. How magnificent would the palace be, considering King Herod was mad about building? But King Herod wasn't able to live there forever. Even though his descendants were alive, the palace didn't belong to them either. The governor of the Roman Empire who ruled the Mediterranean world took the place. And now there is nothing left. The Roman Empire, the palace, everything is gone. The palace actually was a symbol of the vanity of life. Paul stayed there at the palace, the symbol of the vanity of life, for 2 years, feeding himself fully with the everlasting words and life of God. According to the confession of Paul in Corinthians 2, chapter 4, verse 16, though outwardly he was wasting away for the 2 years, yet inwardly he was being renewed day by day in God. And finally, he was getting beheaded in Rome for God. And he resuscitated Rome, the heart of the empire, coloring it with the blood of Jesus Christ and God. Not only he renewed the Roman Empire with the blood of Jesus by sacrificing himself, but also he lived forever in God. It couldn't have happened, hadn't he been full of God's life. For the unreasonable sin of not giving a bribe to Governor Felix, Paul had to be confined in the palace of Herod for 2 years. Yet the 2 years was a period of God's special grace. For the 2 years, Paul's soul had gotten matured enough and became the pathway of eternal life through which you can die, believe forever, and save others forever. Therefore, he advised us in the prison right before he got beheaded as follows. In Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Under any circumstances, Paul knew through his experience that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, because the providence of God is always wonderful and mysterious, transcending human knowledge and decision. Therefore, he was able to thank for everything under the environment that he didn't want, and was able to rejoice all the time. In this regard, the imprisonment of 2 years in the palace of Herod served as the precondition for his thanksgiving and joy. Are you falsely accused and confined in the palace of Herod because you acted right or didn't compromise with injustice? Are you confined in the palace of Herod regardless of your will due to financial or health problems? Then let us be grateful and rejoice instead. Let us not forget the one who led us into the palace of Herod was actually the Lord. In such a palace, a symbol of the vanity of life, let us keep reminded every day that for all men are like grass and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. With such word of God, the life and the power of the word, let us fill our spirits day by day. Filling our spirits with the life of God would color the heart of this world where we live in with the blood of Jesus Christ. Then we will die, but live forever, and save others forever, as the pathway of eternal life, as so Paul did. This is the reason the Lord, whose arm is never too short, called us into the palace of Herod, the symbol of the vanity of life. Let us pray. God had Paul, the witness of God, confined in the palace of Herod and Caesarea for 2 years before reaching Paul. As the symbol of the vanity of life, the palace of Herod was the right place to make sure that although the grass withers and the flowers fall, the word of the Lord stands forever, and to fill himself with such life and power of the Word. Through such process, Paul became the Apostle Paul that we know to color the heart of Roman Empire red with the blood of Jesus Christ. If we are confined in the palace of Herod because that we acted righteously and didn't compromise with injustice or for financial or health problems, help us to be grateful and joyful. May we fill our spirit day by day with the everlasting word of the Lord, with the life and power of the word in this place of Herod. Help us be stronger and new inwardly in the Lord, whose arm is never too short, although we would get older day after day outwardly. May the heart of the world be colored with the blood of Jesus. Thanks to us, like Paul, allow us to become the pathway of eternal life and live forever and save others forever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.